You know, I like what Brian says. You know, I call them and, you know, I start talking about giving them a, you know, a vehicle donated. And he obviously thought, you know, it was some piece of junk. Obviously, Pastor Don's calling. He wouldn't give me anything good, you know. It was funny because when I called him, he kept saying, you're kidding me, aren't you? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. I said, no, I'm not kidding you. Somebody's donating a van. And it's this, you know, town and country, and he was just dumbfounded. Of course, we should know that he's always dumbfounded, right, Chrissy? And he couldn't believe it, and we were so excited because, you know, as Alex said, sometimes you put those requests out there and, you know, you think, you know, is God listening to my prayer? And he does, and he brings the answer out of right field sometimes, doesn't he? So we rejoice in that, and you know, that was great news. So anytime somebody gets blessed, I'm always blessed. I know you guys are blessed. And there's other praise reports. I know I've called Brian down. I said, this is, you know, like Brian's, you know, 10 minutes every Sunday to bring him down here to share a praise report. But there's other praise reports and other people that we'll be bringing up. Right, Miss Kim? Yeah, she's got a good one too. So over the course of the next few weeks, it should build our faith. It should make us want to seek God a little bit more. All right, turn over to Joshua chapter 3 and just go over the scripture that Pastor John had mentioned. And let's go to let's start at verse 1, and we're just going to read a little bit, kind of give you the background. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out for Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. And I used as a title, Preparing for a New Way. And I use the scripture because God is always taking us to a place where we've got to enter into a whole new territory. I had an incident that occurred Wednesday. I know Ed won't mind me sharing this story, will you, Ed? And even if you do mind, I don't care. I'm going to share it anyway, all right? And so we had our Wednesday night, as Pastor John said, and you know, we're always being tested. We're always going into a whole new area. So I was doing the first teaching on the book of Acts. So I came in. I'm in, you know, 4:45. Class is not till 7. Got everything all set up. Everything looking good. Tables and chairs all lined up nice. Garbage taken out. Vacuum, you know. Everything set up. I said, the only thing I have to do is turn that laptop on, which I've done a million and one times, all right? So I got it all set up, and I opened the laptop, and this little piece of paper, you know those little sticky notes that you put up there to remind you to do something? Well, it kind of fell on the floor, and I picked it up, and it was like F-H-C, and then it had fellowship after it. I'm like looking at it like, oh, somebody must have dropped this accidentally in the computer when they used it, you know, for one of the Sunday morning classes, and you know, I'm always finding things in the bag there. So I just kind of crumbled it up, walked to the garbage, tossed it in there. I didn't want a piece of paper messing up my floor, Ed. Okay? So I go and I put the code in, which I've done a million times, and it won't log in. So, let me do it again. It's been a few months since I've used this thing. Maybe I forgot, you know, to put a capital letter here or this or that. And so I'm going through there. It won't go. It won't go. It won't go. So I'm like, oh, man, maybe I better call Debbie O'Rourke. So I called Debbie up, and Debbie, yeah, how you doing? Debbie, I need the code for the laptop. The one I put in there just doesn't seem to work. She said, well, Pastor Don, it's this. So I typed that in. No, Debbie, that's not. Try capitals. I did that. I'll try it again because you say so, Debbie, I will do it. Okay? Kind of like Peter, you know, because you say so, Lord, I will do it. So typed that in. Nope, don't get it. Try, you know, do it backwards, upside down, you know, still won't get it. I said, oh, I'm going to call Jesse. So I called Jesse. Jesse gives me the same code. No, Jesse, that's not it. Okay, blah, 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 blah. All right, now I'm going to call Shane. Shane, you got it? No, this is the code. No, same code, Jesse, or Shane, blah, 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 blah. finally I said, well, I'm going to call Ed because he's our IT guy. And if any, I called Sarah too. All right, so I'm calling everybody in the church directory trying to get the code for this thing. And, you know, they're giving me the same code. I'm like, what in the world is the matter with this thing? So finally after Sarah, and if Sarah didn't know it, I said, I got to go to the man himself. I got to go to Ed. Ed will know. You know, Ed can, you know, get into a vault with, you know, he's one of those IT guys, you know, knows all the codes. So I call him up and he says, oh, I changed the code. I'm like, well, nobody told me, you know, and I'm like, you know, I wasn't panicking or anything because I still had, you know, an hour and a half to go. He said, oh, yeah, I changed the code. I left a piece of paper in the computer to let you know that this was the new code. And I'm like, a piece of paper? And then it dawned on me, oh, that little yellow piece. So I go over to the garbage, dig that thing out, look at it. And I go, how was I supposed to know this was the code? It just got some letters on it, and it says fellowship. He said, well, I thought you would be smart enough to figure out the code. Ed, how many times have I told you, me and technology, we don't get along, all right? I always kid, I think I call my youngest daughter, Lizzie, how do I get out of screensaver? And so he tells me the code, you know, so I type it in there, and he had come in, he was on his way home, so he said, well, I'll stop in and I'll help you out. So he comes in and I get it up. Oh, thank God. He says, well, I'm going to go. I go, no, Ed, please don't go. Stay here, Ed, because something else might go wrong. That's why I'm a pastor. See, we know these things, don't we, Pastor John? Don't leave until the thing is working right. Oh, yeah, he wanted to get home, have his dinner, see his wife, his kids, you know, kick back. Hey, honey, bring me dinner out here. You know, that's how Ed works at his house. None of you know that. Right, Debbie? Huh? Yeah. Ken, you taught him well. That's all I got to say. So he's getting ready to go out the door. I go, no, don't go yet because I just know these computers and me and technology. Until I have this thing up and running right, don't go anywhere. So he stood there. So I type in, I have a hard drive and I had like a PowerPoint on there. Plug that in, put in my code, which I knew. Okay, nobody had to leave me a little piece of paper that they changed it, all right? And so I get on there and then I go to the PowerPoint program and it won't come up. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, I don't recognize this. This looks totally different than what I am used to coming up. But, you know, I could tell it was basically the same format. And I'm like, well, Ed, my PowerPoint thing, it looks a little bit different. He goes, oh, yeah, I changed all the background too. And I'm like, oh, Ed, God love you, brother. So I'm messing with it, and he's standing, and I go, Ed, I can't get my PowerPoint to come up in this thing. And he sits down, and he starts messing with it, and he goes, oh, I forgot to download the program that brings up the PowerPoint. And I'm like, under my breath using his name, and, you know, I wasn't singing his praises. But I started laughing because I was thinking of the message from last week, God preparing us for new things. And that was just a simple thing. You know, that here Ed came in, he blessed us, he updated everything, left a little note in there thinking that I could figure it out. That wasn't going to happen, okay? So I know in the future, whenever I have a little note fall out of my computer, Ed, that you have left me a little love note, how to turn the thing on, how to leave the code and do whatever it is to get in there. But for me, that was an obstacle that had to be overcome. And we talked about Joshua here, Joshua coming to the very edge of the Jordan River. And I like what God does. He just doesn't bring them to the edge and then they cross over. He brings them to the edge and they sit there for 3 days. How many of you have had an obstacle that has occurred in your life, Alex, and you sit there and you're just looking at this thing like, how is this thing going to be overcome? Amen? I know none of you have been there, right? Have you been there? I know Esther, every week I talk to her, there's always a Jordan River in front of her, an obstacle that's got to be overcome. But God brings us to a particular point where we sit and we're face to face with this thing. And we're looking at it, and in the natural, like me on that computer, in the natural, there's no way I was going to figure that thing out. I'm going to tell you right now. But I had the wisdom to call Ed, all right? And in the supernatural, Joshua knew that God was going to deliver him. There was a whole new generation that had arisen, that had come through the Red Sea, and many of these people were young kids when that happened. And they might have heard stories, or they may have recalled seeing that sea open up. They know that God had fed them in the desert for 40 years with the water and with the manna and with the quail, but here they are faced with a new situation. And isn't that like us? How many times do we go back and we know that God has done something for us time after time after time after time, but now here's that new obstacle that we've got to overcome. And God tells, you know, he tells Joshua, he says, you know, do this, 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 and this, because you haven't been this way before. And I want to tell you, church, that God is taking us into a whole new time in this country and in the church throughout the world, into a whole new time. Things that we were able to do before, guess what? There's going to be a whole new challenge, a whole new way of seeing and doing things. You know, when they came to that edge, they knew what would lead on the other side. They're out in the desert, but once they're going to cross over, they knew that giants awaited them. They knew that they were going to have to fight for the land. They knew that there was all these obstacles day after day, and God was trying to teach them, your total reliance is going to have to be on me, because we ain't doing things like we did before. I took care of you out in the desert. Now you're going to have to go win. You're going to have to plant crops. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to toil the ground. There's a whole new level that God wants to take each and every one of us to. Amen? And so we had, last week I covered 2 points out of 6. Just a quick review. The first one was that, go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read, I'll read a little bit in Joshua here. Just maybe about 8 or 9 verses, and it says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. Let's stop right there. I said the first thing, the first point that I wanted to make, when God is going to take us a whole new direction, is sometime we got to be willing to listen to a new voice. We got to be willing to listen to a new leader that comes in, a new way of hearing things. Maybe some of you had jobs and, you know, you got a new boss and he says, well, you know, this boss is not like the old boss. And he does things different. I remember there was a high school I was coaching at, and where's Mark Hogan? I saw him around here. Oh, there he is. He's sitting there. And one day for practice, the girls came out. This wasn't down in Detroit. The girls came out, and it was maybe about a week into, you know, me being there as a brand new coach. They didn't know me. They knew the old coach, like they knew Moses, but they didn't know Joshua. And so we began to warm up, and one of the girls came over. She says, hey, coach, I got together today with all the girls at lunch, and we decided we wanted to do this today at practice. I said, oh, you did you? Mark, I don't know if you remember this. I said, line up. And they're like, what? I go, down the line, line up. And we would do this thing called shuttles, where they had to run 25 yards and then back. 25 yards and back 3 times within under a minute and like 20 seconds. Okay, it wasn't a full-out sprint, but it was close to a sprint. When you got done, you were tired. So they end up doing 5 of these, and you could imagine what they look like. They're on the ground, and they're crying. You know, and then one girl, I can't breathe. You know, I got to have my asthma thing, you know. And the other, they're all standing around just complaining, but they're complaining at the girl that got them all together. I said, now, do you have any other suggestions for me today? Okay. So they had to learn the voice of the new master, the new coach. And that's the way it is with us, is that sometimes we got to hear God afresh. And we see that God took them, he got Moses out of the way. They had known Moses for, you know, 40, 50 years, maybe even more. But now Moses was gone. And Joshua was being raised up. And when Joshua was being raised up, God was supporting him. And he basically empowered him. And he said, you know, I'm going to raise you up in the eyes of the people there. And you know, when you begin to move and have success with people, you know, as a new leader, you gain confidence. You just don't give confidence to anybody that comes along, in that trust, and say, you know, I trust you because you say you're a coach or you're a pastor. We should be a discerning people. You know, we laugh all the time about the prophetess at the laundromat. You know, a lady knocks at the door one day. Boom, 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 boom. I open the door. I have no idea who she is. I've got a word for you in your church. I said, well, I don't know who you are. Well, God sent me. I don't know who you are. Take your word somewhere else. Okay? And we get that all the time. I'm not going to put my trust and confidence in somebody I don't know. They may give me a word. They may say something. I may listen to it, put it on the back burner, so to speak. But I'm not going to be moving out until I have that checked with the leadership in the church or people that I really respect. You just don't know. And you got a bunch of crazy people running around wanting to give everybody a word and telling you this is from God. And you find out most of the time it's crazy. So when God's going to prepare us for that new way, sometimes He brings that new voice. Sometimes He brings that new leadership in. And sometimes it can be a very easy transition, and sometimes it can be what? A very difficult transition. So during this time, really try to see God. God, what are you trying to speak to me? So it says here in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, then you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. Now, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I like that. See, we don't take God's promises sometimes, do we? He's speaking this to Joshua, but there's ramifications for us. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written therein. And we'll stop there. So we see, if when God's preparedness, as I said, the number one thing, new leadership or new voice, a new way of doing things. You know, that's what I love about the Spirit of God. It doesn't put us in a box and ask us to do the same thing over and over and over again, does he? You know, there's different things. I was thinking of Brian's stories when he was sharing about getting that. Hey, you know, he's just out there. He's talking to this guy. And the next thing you know, this guy's wanting to give Brian money back. And Brian, if you know Brian, that was a praise report right in itself. All right? I don't want to say Brian's cheap, but he's cheap, okay? And he loves the deal. You know, he's got Middle Eastern blood in him. You know, he likes to barter with people. Guy he was talking to was from the Middle East. But the guy told Brian, he says, I want $200 to go to you and knock $200 off the price. You know? And so he never expected that. It was a whole new way. But he heard God's blessing that, even though this guy wasn't a Christian. So as we're coming out of this whole virus thing, there's opportunities that are going to avail itself to us, and we need to look for it. The next thing I like, point number two, was to arise and cross over. Not only was new leadership brought in, but that first word, arise, we talked about it, stand up. Okay, there's a lot of people like to stand, but they ain't moving nowhere. You know, kind of reminds me of the police in all these cities with the protests. They're standing there, not all of them, there's some cities, that, and they can't move. They're not using the authority and the power that they've been granted. They've been locked down. You see, God has given us authority and a power, right? But He just don't want us standing around watching what's going on. He wants us to begin moving and be part of the action. And so, you know, we're doing the book of Acts on Wednesday, and this is a whole book about the church not standing around. They begin to rise up and begin to move. And so when we hear that word arise, that means get up out of your place. Many times in the New Testament, I love that word, we hear Jesus said, little girl, arise. It means get out of that place of death. Get out of that place of inactivity. He tells His disciples on the night He was betrayed, arise and let us go. He wasn't telling them, let's run away. He was telling them, let's go and confront those that are now coming towards us. There's obstacles. There's people that are there. We need to stand and we need to be a voice. And we need to declare what God has told us to speak. Amen? And so, we need to arise and to cross over. And as I said, getting to those obstacles. Well, He gave us the command to cross over this Jordan River. How are we going to do it? Sometimes God gives you that command, but He doesn't give you the way that you're going to come about, all right? But we're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, you will receive what? Power. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Why is it that? This is the plan. You're going to be empowered. But within that major framework, there were little deviations that they didn't know about yet. And I'd encourage you to get out to the class, because each one of these chapters that we go through, we're going to see God in the midst of the big plan begin doing things on a smaller scale that the apostles and even the disciples probably weren't too comfortable doing. There were obstacles set before them. Guys, one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts is towards the end, is when Paul is on his way to Rome. And you want to talk about meeting obstacles. First of all, he's a prisoner. Then you got a group of people that are trying to kill him. Then they throw him on a ship. He warns them, hey, we're going to run into bad weather here. I don't think it's time to... we don't care. Who are you? You're a prisoner. They set sail. They thought they had obtained what they wanted. I love that. And it says all of a sudden the storm blew in. And for 2 weeks, they were in the midst of a hurricane, being blown across the Mediterranean. Well, that wasn't enough. They ran out of... They're throwing their food over the side. Guys tried to leave. Okay, but God spoke to them and gave them a word and said, I'm going to give you the lives of everyone who sails with it. However, they all got to stay with the boat. So they stay, and then all of a sudden, Paul tells them, we've got to run ashore somewhere. Oh, you know, they couldn't pull into a nice, safe harbor. They had to pull, they had to run that boat into a reef. The boat broke up, and then they all had to jump in the water, and they're grabbing planks and swimming to the shore. Then he gets there. You know, could you imagine pulling yourself up on the shore? And it's like, wow, you know, all I've been through, let's make a fire to gather some wood. And also a snake comes out, bites him in the hand. He should have died from this viper bite, but he doesn't. You talk about obstacles that you have to encounter. So whatever it is, whatever obstacle it is, God's going to take you and plant you right in front of it. Okay? And you're going to sit there, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to know in the flesh it's never going to be accomplished. But we're called to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. We're called to be a people that trust God, right? God, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get that van. I don't know how I'm going to get transportation, but some way, somehow, it's going to happen. I would tell you the story about Bernie and Raina in their freezer, but I'll save that one for next time, Bernie. I just happened to see you up there laughing because you know where that would go. But to arise and begin to move, okay? Number three. We look here. You got to trust God's promises. We've talked about that all the time, don't we? Trust God's promises. Trust God's word. We had we were up in prayer last week, and as we're praying, God give me a word for one of the ladies that was up there who was going through a financial problem. Okay, we're not no prosperity preacher. We believe in God's prosperity, but not this hyper-prosperity that you see some of these guys. And God just said, hey, I'm going to bless her. And I told someone, I said, I don't know. God is going to bless you somehow, some way. And to be honest with you, you know, she had been laid off. She was trying to get, you know, on all these different things going on. And was just kind of in the midst, like I said, of that hurricane. What's going on here? And then Friday, I get a text from Pastor Don, I just want to let you know I went to my account today and there was $8,000 put in my account. Amen. Amen. She had no idea, you know, what had happened. She did. It came out of right field somehow. But God, in His grace, we got to trust His promises that He'll never, what, leave us or forsake us. And if He takes care of the birds of the air, He's going to take care of us. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit... you know, I'm talking about trusting God's promises. Everybody wants you to trust them in this day, don't they? Everybody marching in the street, they want you to trust them, right? You work somewhere, they want you to trust them. Different people on TV, everybody's vying for your trust. But as I said, you don't want to give your trust without knowing who they are. These people knew who Joshua was. They saw his life. They had been with him for many, many years. And there was a great confidence. And now they're sitting there. Now, I'll bet you they probably begin to doubt his leadership when they had to sit there for 3 days. But once those Levites carried that ark into the middle of the Jordan River, guess what? Things begin to change real quick. Number four, we need to be strengthened by God's charge. I like this. You know, God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. Obey and meditate on God's law. You know, God many times is going to tell us in the circumstance, the situation that we find ourselves, be strong, be encouraged, keep pressing. Okay? And that's a difficult thing to do. You imagine the Apostle Paul in jail for many, many years in his ministry. I know Katie Van Riper was up in the fellowship hall the other day and she was reading the book of Philippians. I said, what are you reading, Katie? Oh, I'm reading Philippians. And I don't know if you knew that, but that was one of the last books that he wrote, and he wrote it from jail. He was awaiting to be beheaded. But when you read the book, you'll hear, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he goes on in almost every chapter. This is encouragement that he's writing to the churches that this letter is going to find its way to. In the midst of his life being laid on the line, going to be taken from him, he's encouraging one another. And so we need to meditate upon God's promises. What has he spoken to you? What has he promised to you? And he may have spoken some things to you individually, and you haven't received them. You know, Abraham, God spoke a promise to him, didn't he? And they kind of laughed at him. And like, no, this is never going to happen because, see, God, what you don't know is I'm 100 years old, and my wife is an old lady, and she's way past the age of having children. Okay, I wish Wendy Herring was here, and you know, because she, those have been around, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Came in here, never supposed to have kids again. Boom, boom, got married. I mean, was divorced, got married, went through this whole thing. Next thing you know, she's having a couple kids. Never doubt God's promise. Never doubt it because he can bring it to pass. Be strengthened by God's charge. Then he was told to prepare himself. What was he preparing? Well, he had to what? Meditate daily on what God had to say. Do we get into God's Word every day and do we meditate on it? We have a little notebook and write things down. You know, he tells him, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written therein. Well, how do we prepare ourselves? And I said this last week, you know, it's not in the in season where athletes prepare themselves for the season. You know, in the old days, they used to do that. If you remember, you know, guys would show up to the summer camp for football maybe a week or two before the season began. They're out of shape. They're working some other job. That don't happen no more. There's too much money involved and invested in these guys' lives. During the off season, you go on YouTube and watch what these guys go through in the off season, preparing them for the season. They work harder in the off season than they do in the season. And their old saying, it says, you know, champions are made in the offseason, not during the season. And the question is, do we want to be champions? Do we want to say, God, here I am. I've got to prepare myself. Well, how do we prepare ourselves as believers? Pray. Study God's Word. Fellowship. All the things Pastor John is going to be talking about Wednesday night in Acts chapter 2. Fellowship, discipleship, evangelism. Being empowered by God. Seeking God's face. Seeking His presence. There is a responsibility that comes to us. Well, God's, you know, God could do it, but he tells us, study my word. What did he tell Joshua? He was going to back Joshua up everything he did, right? But he says, you got a responsibility, and that responsibility, be strong, be courageous, and then what? Meditate upon my word. And so we have a responsibility. We just don't sit around. We have to arise. We have to cross over. We have to meditate. We got to trust his promises. We prepare ourselves. And it's not just church things. It might be so-called world things. Young girl that played ball for me at Western, she's been out here the last couple of weeks, and she's all excited. You know, she comes, oh, you know, Pastor, I've been helping people with their finances. And she works for some company out in Troy, and we were talking, you could just see there was this enthusiasm. She wanted to help people from her community get their, she goes, I can't believe, you know, how many people don't know this. And so Pastor John and I and someone else was there, and we said, well, we have a financial peace class. You know, look up this on YouTube and find out the information. And she's writing everything down. You know, Elma's son, he'd drive you absolutely nuts, wouldn't he, Elma? Miguel, he'll tell you, oh, that's not what Dave Ramsey said. Dave Ramsey says A, B, C, and D. He's basically got the book memorized, but he saw these important principles. He saw that how he got blessed when he began to implement those principles and how it just freed him up from any type of debt. But it's not just in money. It could be in our education. It could be in child raising. All these things, we need to seek out God's wisdom because God's book tells us the answer. It may not deal directly with it, but there's principles in there that we want to take and we want to implement in our life. So we have to prepare ourselves. Study the situation. Be prepared, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, be prepared when? In season and out of season. And as I said, that's where the champions are made, and I believe that's what God wants to do here. And then finally, you got to have faith. Not just faith in God's word, but you got to have faith in every situation that comes against you. God has given us the land. We speak faith to one another. There's nothing better than when somebody comes and they speak faith to you and you hear their words. And I'm not just talking the word of God, though. That's important. I'm talking about when somebody sits down and says, you know what? God has told me this. God has given me. I called Esther this week. Esther's going through a tough time and I was praying for her. God gave me a word, opportunity. And I called her up. I said, Esther, I know you're going through a tough time, but this is what God spoke to me, the word opportunity. Now, that may not mean a whole lot. That can be pretty nebulous, okay? But I said, look to God. Trust God. See where God, how He's going to use you in this particular situation. And so, I'm sure when it comes that we're going to have Esther up here. Esther, we've got to only give you 5 minutes, though, okay? Yeah, we know Esther. She'll go on and give glory to God for an hour and a half, but that's okay, too. Amen. So, just a quick story, and then I'm going to wind it up. How somebody can speak. We all know people that will speak negatively into our lives, right? You can't do that. It's not going to work. Have you ever heard that type of speaking? And that's difficult to overcome a lot of times. I was coaching many, many years ago. This was back in the year, right after Brian, in fact, you were still in high school, and I was doing the freshman team there. And we were scrimmaging against the school, and I called a play, and the kid that was our running back got the ball, and he got tackled and didn't get no yardage. And he throws the ball down, and he looks at me, and he says, that blankety-blank play, it ain't ever going to work. I didn't have no high school kid tell me what play going to work. So I grabbed him, get out. I said, I'm not going to have it. Every play that we run, you got to think it's going to work, right? And if you're the main one in the carrying the ball, you better believe it's going to work. Because there's going to be breakdowns at times, but you better have it in your mind. It's going to work. So I grabbed the second string running back. I called the exact same play. And he ran 40 yards for a touchdown. I'm like, God, thank you for backing me up. Okay. I looked at that kid, and I was like, hey, don't tell me that play ain't going to work. That kid, he just ran 40 yards for a touchdown against a very good team. And so we would use that. But I always remembered that don't let somebody tell you you can't do something, that it won't work. We have to have faith, and we need to be a people that encourage one another. Maybe you know somebody that's going through something. Don't be afraid to give them a call. You know, during this coronavirus, I was going down the list just calling people. I know I called Carol all the time, and you know, just she encouraged me. She called me. I call her. You owe me some coffees, by the way. But that's the way you build one another up. And so we see here as we conclude, you know, when God is preparing a new way, be ready for that new voice to be giving you direction. God, and maybe not a new voice, but a new way that God has called you to move. Arise and cross over the obstacle that God has placed in front of you. Trust God's promises. Be strengthened by His charge. Prepare yourself to be used and have faith when you're put in that situation that you don't know how you're going to progress, how you're going to move from that point on. So pray with me, and I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. We do have the prayer team up here. If you would like prayer, please come forward. If you don't want to be them lay hands on you, that's fine. Just let them know when you come up here. If there's somebody in front of you, please give them the social distancing there. Not like Joshua and the Ark of the Covenant, 1,000 cubits, so you can sit on the pew right there. We do have coffee upstairs, so we'd invite you to stick around and fellowship. It definitely is good to see everybody, and everybody that has joined us today through Facebook or through our webpage. We encourage you, once again, as Pastor John said, to come out. We have plenty of room here. We're once again beginning to fill the pews back up, but there's still the concerns about this particular virus, and we want to be aware of that, and we want to make you feel safe when you come here. So hopefully you got something out of this today. Are you ready to go forward and cross the Jordan? Are you ready to be prepared? Amen? Are you ready? Be careful what you pray. I say it all the time. I say it all the time. That's why I get that little smile, you know, and because I know we've been through it. Just closing quickly, I was thinking when we were in prayer, Betty was sitting there, and we were just kind of talking about where God had brought us from, the days of being in a gymnasium, the things that we went through, the people that were there, the people that left, but God was always faithful, and it wasn't always easy. You know, sometimes you scratch your head and you go, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to build here? But as you walked with God in faith, something, like I said, you're not going to know. But all of a sudden that water begins to roll back and there's a whole new path for us to go. And it can be one of the most exciting things, and it can be one of the most scary things to go through too. So let's bow and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for the example of Joshua and that generation that was raised up. We thank you, Lord, that whatever was set before them, Lord, that they had confidence that you were there. Lord, that you opened a way where no one thought a way could be opened. You laid upon them a commission. Lord, I pray that you continually open doors for us, that we seek your face, that we meditate upon your word. Lord, that we hear your voice with greater clarity. Lord, that we have faith that will rise up, that we would encourage one another. And Lord, then all that we do, that you would be edified and glorified. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.